Hello everyone and welcome to our first episode of the Multilingual Podcast Show of the Center for Foreign Language Didactics. I'm your host Georgina Dragovic and it's my distinct pleasure to welcome our guest Paola Georgis. She teaches English literature, language and visual arts in high schools in Italy and holds a PhD in anthropology of education and intercultural education. She has published 2 monographs, several articles and chapters in collected works and has participated to many international conferences. Also, she is co-founder and member of the collective Womanet, which is Women's Studies in Anthropology and Education, and she is affiliated to several international associations of linguistics and intercultural studies. Currently, she's staying at the Institute of Multilingualism in Freiburg, where this show is being recorded, and where she's working on her latest project, which is why we have her here today. Hi, Paola. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. What about you, Gina?
Thank you so much
for inviting me and for offering me the opportunity to share ideas with you and to talk about my work.
So, Paola, tell us what brought you to Freiburg.
Okay, well, Gina, the reason why I'm here is that I have been following the works and the project of the Institute of Multilingualism for several years now, and I've always been impressed by how it aims to promote an interdisciplinary, widest-ranging and critical approach to foreign languages and foreign language education, and about how it does that by combining theory, practice and research. Therefore, both its approach and practice are extremely interesting for me, as it is precisely what I'm trying to do in my teaching experience, that is combining theory, practice and research.
As I see it, you're actually trying to pursue the same goal as our Center for Foreign Language Didactic, combining practice and research, but also theory. So what would be interesting now is to hear from you how you combine those two, or respectively, 3 entities. Could you tell us something more about your work so far?
Well, Gina, I define my position as that of a practitioner and an independent research scholar. Such double and integrated perspective allows me to see every day and through field experience how far theory, practice and research are connected. Indeed, I think that in every practice there is a theory to be discovered, and as well as in every theory, and in particular in education, I mean, every theory has to be connected with practice. And as a practitioner, I teach English as a foreign language in a high school of arts, as you have said before, Gina. And as an independent scholar, I mainly research in the field of critical linguistics, and more specifically on what I see as a connection between foreign language education and critical linguistics. And to answer to your second question, Gina, my research interests actually come from my practice. I teach English to students coming from different lingua culture backgrounds. And as all we teachers know, each classroom has its particular dynamics in terms of social relations, role descriptions, etc. What I began noticing during the English class was that such dynamics changed and the roles swapped. For example, students who were usually more in the backstage took the floor, and that had nothing to do with their proficiency in the language. And what was relevant was that such changes had an impact on how students saw themselves and on how they were perceived by the others. So I began asking myself, that's interesting. What is happening here?
So what was happening?
Well, Gina, I wanted to find it out, so I decided to investigate on what a language other does to people and what people do with another language. So I decided to embark in a qualitative PhD research on how the use and the experience of a language other impacts on individual and collective identities and representations. Yet my research was not specifically in linguistics, but as you said before, in anthropology of education and intercultural education, because my second question was how, as a teacher and educator, I can use such changes of roles and dynamics to develop a critical and intercultural approach to foreign language education, and through that, a critical awareness on how languages can reproduce or challenge stereotyped, reified visions of the self in the others.
Very interesting research questions, Paola. And what did you find? Or maybe it's better to ask, how can your findings potentially affect practice?
Yes, Gina. So the results of the research are significant at several levels for which concern practice. Yet, in particular, for which regards our talk today, it came out that the experience of a non-mother tongue redefines roles and social relationship, reframes individual and collective identities, and creates the opportunities for new group affiliations. Nothing particularly new, as there are studies which have addressed such issues, such as those of, and from different perspectives, such as those, for example, of Claire Crumsh, Anita Pavlenko, and Jean-Marc Devaele, as well as Ben Rampton's studies on code switching and language crossing among adolescents. And you can find all the references to these authors on the website. What I found interesting is that the different perspective which is offered by a language that is other can offer us teachers the opportunity to develop a critical and intercultural awareness on languages.
Okay. I heard you now a few times mentioning critical and intercultural purposes, critical and intercultural approach, critical linguistics, and now critical awareness. Can you possibly tell us what you mean by that?
Well, Gina, the intent of this activity is to help a student to develop a critical thinking, that is, an independent thought, able to question the status quo. In education, such transformational approach, which is meant to problematize what is usually taken for granted, addressing inequalities and promoting issues of social justice, is advocated by critical pedagogies, as in the works by Paulo Freire, but also in the works of an Italian educator, Lorenzo Milani, and the Scuola di Barbiana. And you can find again all the references on the website.
Could you maybe give us an example so that we can better imagine how teachers can promote the critical awareness of their students?
Yes, Gina, for example, I worked with a class on stereotypes, starting from how others see us Italians. Students were then engaged to think critically about stereotypes with regard which regard their own in-group, and that helped them reflect on how they saw the others. And please visualize all these us, them, and the others as into inverted commas. And how they saw the others, often taking them as a homogeneous group, disregarding or ignoring individual differences. In a few words, I used stereotypes to problematize stereotypes. And it has to be remembered that all these activities were carried out in English, a language which is other to all my students, regardless of their linguistic or ethnic background, a fact which adds a further perspective to the issue of otherness.
Mm-hmm. And those activities with these stereotypes that you mentioned, are they online?
Well, Gina, actually, there is an article online which describes one of these activities. And guess what? Yes, you can see the link on the website. Or otherwise, you can find it on in my latest book.
And the title of your book is?
So the title is Meeting Foreigners, Foreign Languages and Foreign Language Education as Critical and Intercultural Experiences. And it was published in November 2018 by a US publisher, Lexington, Roman and Littlefield. And again, you can find a link with more info on the website. The intent of the book is to connect theory, practice and research. And these are actually the three main parts of the book. In order to question the issue of how is foreignness defined by language, who has the power to define the foreigner as such, on which grounds, from which positioning, under which conditions, for which purposes, and within such premises, which is the role of foreign languages in defining, reproducing, or problematizing foreigners.
So, Paola, you are finished with your research and you even have a book, right? So, but what are you doing then right now?
Well, as you also know, Gina, from your own experience in drama and in education, practice and research not only inform one another, but they always need to be a bit problematized and challenged. Therefore, what I'm doing here in Fribourg is to try to learn something new, as I'm following some seminars on language and language ideologies, and at the same time, I'm trying to develop a new project, which I see as a development of both my teaching practice and of some theoretical argument which are debated in the book.
That sounds really interesting. Could you tell us then what this new project is about and whom is it meant for?
Oh, well, Gina, so the core question of the project is how we can use other languages to problematize otherness. And as a teacher, more specifically, how can we use the foreign language class as a critical site to develop a critical and intercultural awareness, able to avoid the reification, the stigmatization, the stereotyping, or the folklorization of the other. And every day we are indeed more and more targeted and affected by words which contribute to reproduce different forms of otherness and diversity. And therefore, I wanted to start precisely from words. The title of the project is In Other Words, and the subtitle is An Alphabet to Problematize Otherness. In practice, it is a list of keywords put in alphabetical order which recur in prevailing discourses about the other. So, for example, some keywords on which I'm working are age, borders, disability, foreignness, power. It has really just started, but I envision it as a co-constructed project where teachers and students can be both the addressees and the active participants, for example, by proposing or adding words or references. And I envision it more as a process than as a product. But if I ever manage to complete it, the idea would then to put it online in a way that teachers and students can use it for free.
So, Paola, as you just mentioned, I'm someone who works with drama techniques in the classroom. And therefore, I could think of several ways of how to work on one word by using those techniques. But from what I understand, you won't use theater tools, will you? And if not, I'm very curious to hear what other possible ways exist for working on one word. Could you tell us more about those activities that you prepare?
Okay, so yes, so the project is structured starting from the etymology and the definition of a single word to see how it has been or it is used, shaped, manipulated to create a particular narrative of otherness. It then works on several different interpretations, attributions, coming from the daily context, such as from articles, blogs, flyers, graffiti, YouTube videos. So how is this word used in the daily context, in different daily context? So each word is examined at a double visual level. On one side, we have its etymology and definition, and on the other, how it can be problematized. Such visually different perspective on the same word is then completed by some materials for pre- and in-training teachers, which in turn can be also used with or by students. And all these materials are meant to favour, elicit and guide a further discussion, as well as to offer suggestions for more readings and insights. And the structure of the materials for teachers includes several steps, and the activity is divided according to a before, during and after pattern. Teachers can start by presenting a specific word, doing some brainstorming with students, asking them what the idea or concept they associate with the word. And then, at the end of the activity, they discuss with students on whether some ideas or associations have changed and how. Such a comparison would add insight to the activity and allow to revise and pull together all previous argumentation. And you can see the structure of this project on the website below the podcast.
Then I have to ask you, is there only a structure on the website at the bottom of this podcast episode, or do you also have an example that we could look at?
Yes, indeed. There is also an example, and let's take the keyword power. And can I ask our listeners to take some minutes to have a look at this example on the website? So you can see that we start from the etymology, then we move to the definition, and then we consider how such a word can be problematized or challenged by placing aside different examples. In this case, a painting by Kehinde Wiley. From there, we can then move on, bringing in class or asking students to bring in class and analyze other examples about how this word is used in daily context. How is this used to reproduce, to challenge, to resist, to emancipate?
So you're actually using those activities to work on the critical awareness of the students, right? But I'm wondering, how exactly do you connect these activities on words with foreign language learning? What is the special potential that you see for the foreign language education?
Well, Gina, in all this activity, let's say that I exploit the foreignness, that the foreign language for grounds for critical purposes. Yet, the foreign language is not only integrated in these activities, but it actually constitutes them. As all activities and discussions are carried out in the foreign language, that allows students to practice the foreign language as a tool for exchanging and communicating ideas. Students are directly engaged in the linguistic interactions, in the research and in the presentation of materials. And from my teaching experience, I have seen that this is a very effective way to allow students appropriate and practice the foreign language, also able to involve those students who usually tend to be more in the background.
And I'm sure that your students will not only learn, but also have fun while doing these activities.
Well, we shall ask them.
Paola, I can't wait to see your activities online, and I'd be glad if you could notify the Center of Foreign Language Didactics as soon as you have published them.
Sure, Gina.
Thank you very much. And now the very last question. So, you have spent 6 months at the Institute of Multilingualism. And my question would be, is there some knowledge that you gained, something that you could transfer into teaching in schools? Because you're going back now to Italy, right? Because you mentioned that you were following some seminars at the university, so...
Well, Gina, there are so many things. How much time have we got? Because actually what I have been seeing, learning here is precisely what I was looking for. That is a connection of studying, research, practice, and so on. And yes, in particular, the seminars which I followed were very, very interesting for many different reasons. And I was very lucky because at the same time, you know, while I was following the seminars, I immediately thought, you know, I could use that in my class, or this is a strategy, or this is a kind of theoretical reference that I can apply to my practice. So I'm so happy, and I really looking forward to be back in class.
And thank you, Paola. I would like to thank you very much for sharing some examples of your very original work with the issue of otherness in classroom teaching and in research, and for all the links and references that our listeners can find on the website at the bottom of this episode. And maybe someday you will ask yourself again, interesting, what is happening there? Start a new research project, and hopefully we will have again the chance to talk to you in this podcast show about a new project.
Well, I would also like to thank you so much, Gina, for this conversation. I really enjoyed that. Thank you so much. And I'm sure that many teachers every day ask themselves the question, interesting, what is happening here? And I wish them all, and myself too, to be always curious about what happens in our classroom and to our students. So thank you again for that.
Thank you, Paola, and I wish you good luck with your ongoing project, and please keep us posted.
I will. Ciao.
Ciao. Dear listeners, you've reached the end of the first episode of the podcast show of the Center for Foreign Language Didactics. Thank you very much for listening. If you like this podcast, please sign up to our newsletter and listen to our next episode. Goodbye.